Fighters, when you started your business, there were some people, of course, that supported you, but there were other people that were judging you, right? They're saying, you're never going to make any money. It's really hard to start a business. You're going to have to work your butt off. You're never going to see your family. If the economy tanks, you're probably going to go bankrupt, and all these things flying at you from the doubters. Well, listen, I want to equip you with everything you need to prove them wrong, and that's why I want you to get your keister, your butt, your seat, the back end part of your body that you put on a chair. I want you to bring it to Denver in September. So hit the link and be part of our final Mile High Profit Summit here in 2024. I'm out. Fighters, imagine doing 500 grand at a 26% gross profit. It's not that much money left over in your pocket. Well, today I have a great conversation with my buddy, Derek Prince. He shares a little bit of his story, how when he came to us, he was doing 500 grand at 26%. And within 12 months or so, he was doing 2.5 million at over a 40, 44% gross profit after everything was produced. Totally changed the game for him and his family and his business. We talk about the gym that he just opened, the proper, a little bit of the property management company that they have, that they have over 85 properties. And he's got a kick-ass business doing mostly exterior types projects. Derek is a great guy. What you're going to get from this is how you do one thing is how you do everything. He's a bodybuilder, and that fanatical approach to tracking things and refining the steps and the diet and the workouts, he's taken that into his businesses, and he is winning at a high level. So without further ado, here's my buddy Derek Prince. Derek Prince, what's up, Home Slice?
Hey, how's it going, Tom?
Good. So I remember speaking, was it at the Stain and Seal thing?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. It was a Stain and Seal, and this gargantuan human being came up to me and gave me a big hug. That would be you. You are not a small human.
Yeah. That's true. Well, these are facts.
How big are you, man? What's your height and weight?
I'm 6'2", about 240.
240. And guys, if you don't know, go follow him on social media. He, you call yourself a bodybuilder? What do you call yourself?
Yeah, we're a fitness competitor, bodybuilder. So me and my wife both compete in bodybuilding. So
yeah. And in addition to your contracting business that we'll get to in a minute, you just opened a few months ago a gym.
Yep.
It's right behind you on the camera here.
Blue. Yeah, actually, that was actually the wrong name because okay. We found out it was copyrighted later. It's Blue Ridge Muscle now, but I just keep it up there for like memories. The lesson learned in that.
Yeah. Oops.
Yeah.
Got to do a little research. How long did you want to open a gym? Has this been like a forever type dream of yours? Or?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I've been in fitness since I was 15 years old, I would say. And yeah, my dad had a little home gym, and I just lived in there in his garage. And, you know, I just hung out in the gym all the time. So owning my own gym was definitely like a dream. And it happened a lot faster than I thought it was going to happen, thanks to you. So
what's been the biggest surprise owning a gym compared to a contracting business?
I would say the marketing stuff, or you know, figuring out. I learned a lot from you and doing the videos which I've used to promote the gym, you know, doing a little introducing myself to supplement of the week, and that stuff works well. But like the Google ads and the Facebook ads, kind of a waste of money, and found out more yard signs and like organic, you know, ground level marketing or guerrilla marketing is kind of the way to go, at least in our area.
Yeah. And what should have had you share this earlier? Where do you live? Let's start with that.
We're in a city called Canton, North Carolina, which is right outside, about 45 minutes outside of Asheville. So we're in the Blue Ridge Mountains.
Yeah. Gotcha. Asheville's a nice little town, man. That's pretty cool. And did you grow up there?
No, I'm actually from Central Florida.
Okay.
I moved up here. Well, worked for my dad down in Florida for 10 years, and I just got burnt out on working a warehouse job. And I got certified as a personal trainer, actually, and I had an opportunity to move to North Carolina and work out at a gym that's actually in the town next door called Maggie Mountain Fitness. And my dad just gave me a $5 an hour raise And, but I already made my decision. I was like, Dad, I'm sorry, but I gotta go. Like, I just can't do this anymore. That was a real tough decision there. Cause you know, you look up to your dad, you're seeing him every day, and now I'm about to move five states away.
Yeah.
And take this leap of faith, really. And moved up here, worked at a gym. What I found was, you know, I went from working on my feet for 50 hours a week, you know, just a standard job. And then personal training was, you know, clients in the morning. And then you have this huge window, you know, people are at work, and then you train people in the evening. And I was going stir crazy sitting in the gym, you know. So I started, you know, picking up little side jobs there at the gym, mowing yards and, you know, staining some fences, just little things, you know, moving people. And it started really picking up to the point where, you know, I was like, man, I'm actually making more money doing this than I am personal training people. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's how everything kind of started.
All right. Good shit, man. So, all right, before we get into this, I need to ask a self-serving question here. I'm curious. You're shredded as hell, dude. Like, whenever you posting your pictures and shit, are you always in like shred mode?
You know, I try to stay like around 10 to 12% body fat.
Okay.
And yeah, just having a wife that's into it as well. She's even more hardcore than I am. She's doing the 75 hard now, and she's like a nutrition, you know, so we always have good stuff in the house. She's always, you know, making sure the supplements are there. So she makes it a lot easier on me to maintain that. Yeah, that's where I like, that's where I feel the most comfortable, you know, I don't like to get too heavy, you know, and then once you've done it for 10 years and you kind of just autopilot, really.
How many days a week do you lift?
I've actually scaled it back a little bit. So I'm down to, I think, 4 days a week, 4 to 5 sometimes.
Okay.
2 days on, 1 day off, let my body rest. I found I get better results, you know, that way I can push harder the first two days really hard and then rest. And then I can push the next 2 days really hard and heavy, keep the intensity up. I do like walking on the days that I'm off. Like, I'm not just not doing anything, but I lower the calories during that day that I'm resting and the carbs and stuff like that. And then higher on like leg days and stuff like that.
Are you fanatical about tracking the macros and the calories and all that shit every day? Is like that an everyday thing for you, or is it you just kind of go, I'll just back off a little?
So my wife's like that. She's down to the T. I've done it for long enough to where I can kind of eyeball it, you know, but if I'm in competition mode, I weigh everything, make sure every gram, but you know, I've seen 4 ounces of chicken or 6 ounces of chicken enough to where I can, you know, a couple pieces here and there aren't gonna, you know, so that's why I tell a lot of people at the gym is like, it can be so overwhelming as far as like, you know, I got to track the, you know, trying to track all your macros, make sure you're working out. Like, if you hit them too much with too many things, it kind of shuts everybody down. So I try to tell them to start with one thing. Let's drink some water. You know, let's just go to the gym, you know, 2 times a week. Let's just start with that for a month, you know,
just get you in the door, right?
Yeah.
So what's funny is you talk about getting a lot of rest. And guys, I have a point. I'm going to loop back and connect what he was talking about with the macros and the calories here in a minute to contracting. All right. But this last time I did, I just finished phase 2 of 75 hard against my third year doing the live hard thing. Right.
Mm.
And I took a different approach this time. I'm a big kettlebell guy, you know, so I don't do like barbell lifting or things like that, but very often, pretty much I train at home. And this last time through, man, like, I'm 54 and I felt like I've beaten the shit out of my body. You know, every time I'm on the cycle and the 2-a-days and like, it just, I mean, phase 1, you know, like I do heavy rucks almost every day and as one of the workouts. And by the time I get done with whatever phase I'm in, like, my right knee is shot. It's just inflamed. It's sore. Like, cause you know, 75 hard, and those that don't, it's, you know, part of it is 2 workouts a day, 45 minutes each. One has to be outside and they're 3 hours apart. Okay. So the recovery was like really just not there. And so what I did for diet, I did a gram of protein per pound of body weight. And so for me, it was a minimum of 200 grams a day. And then I was carb cycling. So like 200 grams one day, then 150, then 100, then 50, then zero. And then with the training, I did very little ruck. I would do for one workout a day, I would just walk every day. And, you know, probably every third day I'd do a heavy ruck. And then for the lifting, for the 45 minute workout, dude, I would do like 20 to 25 minutes of warm up. And then I would go, you do a lot of cleans and presses and, you know, kettlebell double front squats and stuff like that.
Right.
I did a ton of sets. So I do like 12 to 20 sets at like 3 reps. And I got strong. I felt good. I was rested. I'm getting a lot of sleep. And so there's no point to this for a contractor necessarily, other than right. You kind of got to figure out what works for you. Right. But
right.
I found that the rest was hugely important. The warm up for me as I'm getting older is critical. And then I could go hard, really hard for like those 20 minutes or so, 25 minutes of the rest of the workout after the warm up. And my strength went up. I felt like $1 million. Energy was good. I leaned out. Like it was pretty cool going really low reps, lots of sets with lots of rest and going heavy. So it was just a different thing for me. So
nice.
Anyway, so I want to talk about it. It's funny. I didn't have this plan, but when you were talking about tracking the macros and you've been doing this so long, you know, there's that saying, how you do one thing is how you do everything.
Right.
And you've taken that to your contracting business from my vantage point, if nowhere else, at least the area of tracking and KPIs. I mean, you're one of those guys inside of Battleground that like clockwork, you're posting your shit.
Yeah.
Like you just track it. And what I love about having you on here today, and I can't wait for some people to hear your story a little bit, is you're one of those members in Battleground that just flies under the radar. I think you got to work really hard to see what Derek's doing. And that's right. Not like a rip or anything. That's just going like, you really have to pay attention because you're not one of these people that is, you know, I think you just show up, you chop the wood every day, you do what's required and you live your life. And, right. And it's been cool to watch over the last few years because dude, every time you post something, you know, like you recently, I was just looking for it. I couldn't find it right now. But you posted at the end of the first quarter, like your first quarter goal was like 600 grand and you did like 962 or some shit. You know, so let's, and I'm bringing this up, you guys, because we talk a lot about the importance of tracking your numbers, your KPIs and this and that, and what you focus on improves, just like Derek, you know, with your bodybuilding and stuff. You know, if you're focused on what you eat, you're focused on the macros and the lifts and you're tracking things and you're measuring and you're going to get better. And it's no different with our construction company. So tell people about your construction company and what you do, how long you've been doing it.
Yeah. So my company is called Pro Property Services and it's evolved a lot over the years. So now the best way I could describe it is an exterior contractor. So we're known for building decks, siding. We also do cabin restoration. So we like blast them down with a media blaster and then do all the log repair, you know, do a nice stain on there. Fencing is another one and roofing. So kind of got a little bit of everything. We kind of stay out of the inside of the house. We really like the exterior.
Yeah. Yeah. And subs, employees, combo, what do you got going on?
Yeah. So I've got a sales manager, 2 salesmen, a project manager, and then 2 W-2 employees that run the media blaster. And then I've got 5 subcontractors, deck builders, carpenters, and then 3 painters.
Okay. Cool.
So I just recently changed to I guess mostly subcontractor model. Thanks to listening to Anthony's story and kind of doing the job costing on some of the, when I had employees, I'm like, man, I'm losing money with these lazy employees when I could just pay a sub, you know, and then with the 50% gross profit, getting over the head trash and charging where I need to charge is still making that. So
quick advice for anybody that's struggling or wanting to implement more of the sub model. What have you learned?
Definitely the way to go, as long as you have the right subs. So when I first implemented it, you know, I had my two subs that were really good, didn't have any issues with them. They're great. And then we started expanding into doing some like rock work and some other things. And, you know, we had all the, we just couldn't say no. So we're like, yeah, we can do it. And me not knowing what, you know, what good rock work is. And I just was trying to make money, you know, and, you know, I'm still paying. Actually, I just finished paying the mistakes from those bad subs. You know, the callbacks, hey, this patio didn't hold up and I had to go back and pay another sub, a new one to come in there and fix it. So I do think the way I do it now is I'd start them off on something small and I've niched down to, I'm not doing anything I'm not good at or I don't know anything about. Let's say like a deck or siding. I know that stuff.
Yeah.
So I'll start them off on something small, you know, two or three or four jobs until I see their qualities where I want it to be. And then kind of raise them up bigger and bigger jobs until, you know, because yeah, I found out the hard way about $100,000 worth of mistakes.
Yeah.
From trusting the wrong subcontractor, you know, them telling me they could do it, me trusting in them a little too much. And so I think it's the best advice to be able to say no sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Say yes to the small stuff and inch them up to bigger, more high profile projects and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's
and cutting them loose. As soon as you get any communication issues or any, I don't know, my leash has gotten real short. So if I get any kind of weird feeling or the way they handle, I give them like a little bit of grace, but if I get, now I'm just like, I'm done with that. That contractor, like the way he runs his business, I can't, you know, I'll give him some tips as far as like what I expect, you know, setting the expectations from the beginning. Hey, this is what I expect. And what do you expect from me? You know, we have that meeting. And then as soon as they kind of violate that one or two times, then I just cut them loose.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not in the apologies business.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
When'd you find the fight, man?
I think it'll be 2 years in December. So, but I did find it before then. I listened to it a couple times. I was like, this is kind of weird at first. Yeah, I was listening to like Andy Frisella and stuff. It was like, yeah. I didn't really know. It didn't take. And as I got deeper into it, into business, then I started forcing myself to listen to it. And then like one day I heard something that just clicked. It was like a little nugget. I think it was about a pre-job visit. I think it was something I heard on there. And I'm one of those people that if I hear something, I implement it like either that day or the next day. Like, and because we just so happened to be going through an issue with, you know, communication issues as far as what was getting done on the job, you know, and not a clear contract. So then I found, you know, started listening a little bit more. And like every day I started listening to it. I started thinking I shouldn't be listening to music during the day. I should be, if I have spare time, I should be listening to something that's going to make me better and not just music or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I was riding around the truck a lot. So I just started putting you on and listened to it, you know, episode after episode. And then I dove into the numbers program, did that one first. Money was a little tight back then. So that was the first one I could afford, you know, and did that. And that really helped. I mean, it was just like a hallelujah moment. Like I knew I was missing something.
Yeah.
You know, like trying to figure out the overhead and all that. And here was everything I was waiting for, you know? And then I think I did the foundations next.
Gotcha.
And then in December, I remember about to board an airplane. I asked my wife, because we were a little bit tight on money, but you know, we both had coaches before as far as bodybuilding. We know the importance of it. I'm like, I really think this could help us take the next level. Like you said, just like diet and nutrition. This is a personal trainer for your business pretty much. So, right. And he's helped the little things I've learned just from his, I mean, I used to sit in my living room, put you on the TV and I'd have a notepad and I was just writing, you know, watching your YouTube and just writing stuff down every single night. And yeah, and I made the choice to do the battleground. And yeah, and that was just awesome just to go through that and changed everything for me. It really did.
Yeah. What'd the business look like before and what's it look like now? A year and something later.
Yeah. So earlier that year, before I signed with you, I actually had a business partner and he did a lot of the half, he did the other half of the business. So he did remodeling, a lot of the inside work, and I did mostly exterior stuff, mostly small, none of the stuff we're doing now, as far as like we were doing fences and some landscaping stuff, not enough to pay the bills. So, and then he got a job opportunity because we were struggling financially. And he got a job offer that he couldn't pass up, building houses for a big builder,
right,
making bank. So, and he had four kids to feed. And I was like, mm-hmm. you know, we're still good friends today. It's no hard issue. But it was like a sink or swim moment. So I really started doing the self, you know, watching your videos, stuff like that. And I started doing a little bit of the sub work. I think we did 500,000 that year in gross revenue. And I think it was 26% gross profit. And 3% net, I think, is what the numbers were.
Yeah.
At the end of it. So yeah, it was we weren't doing any meetings.
Contractors, it's about time that you earn what you're worth. And more importantly, to earn what you're worth in any economy. Far too many contractors are waking up each day and going to bed each night with this story rolling through their brain that they're failing as a provider. They can't pay the bills at home. They can't pay the bills in their business. Yet, they're adding so much value to their clients and they're scratching their heads going, what the hell's the issue? Why can't I make more money? Why can't I get over this hump? Why can't I pass the six-figure mark in my personal income? Or if you're already making six figures, why can't I get to that next milestone in my business? It comes down to simply, you were generally not taught to be a business owner. You were taught the trade, but not the craft of running a business. And that's why I am doing a special 4-part video training series where we're going to dig down and we're going to discuss the most important factors that are going to ensure that you make what you're worth in any economy. I'll see you there. Hit the link.
We weren't doing my social media. I was pretty good at that before I joined you, but you took it to another level. I had a good amount of following. That's where most of our business came from, because I would post on the local pages. So
right.
What else? Yeah, just no structure, really. It was kind of just everybody. I was keeping everything in my head. I didn't have a CRM. Mm. So yeah, it was just a lot of disorganization. Weren't making really money. We thought we were, but wasn't tracking nothing. Yeah, wasn't dealing with an accountant, getting a P&L to see where the health of the business was. None of that.
Right.
So yeah, we were in tough shape for sure.
So $500,000 a year, 26 gross. Where are we at now?
Last year we were at 2.5 million and it was a 44% gross profit and an 18% net, I believe.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. That's a big swing, man. In about a year.
Yeah. About a year. Yeah.
What got you from a $500,000 to 2.5? Let's just start with the top line. Like what were you doing that others can learn from?
Yeah. So I started, I got a CRM and so the leads were starting to come in more. Mm-hmm. Cause we did the best job possible and we were building our reviews already. So we had a pretty good reputation already in the area, but then I got the CRM and, you know, as you through your battleground, it's tracking your numbers. So I started job costing all my past jobs. You know, some jobs we did okay on, not the 50%, but it really was an eye opener. Like, man, I didn't make any money on that. So I cut the fat off, you know, stuff that I wasn't good at. And we always lost money on it. I got rid of that and started, like I said, job costing every job. I turned up my marketing, started doing videos, you know, like a video introducing myself. Because before I was just showing projects, but I started doing a lot of more content as far as like, you know, educational stuff. Every job we do now, I do a before video. Hey, we're starting this week. I might even do a middle one and the end. Mm-hmm. And I really found it interesting because I'd talk to random people at Lowe's and they'd be like, yeah, I saw your cabin you're working on. I'm really excited about how that turns out. I had no idea that. You know, just met this guy. I'm like, yeah, I see you all over social media. So yeah, I would say that, you know, my numbers up in my marketing, what else? Yeah. Working the Shin Fu. That was huge. You know, not wasting our time with people who are never going to spend money with us and taking them through that 5-step process and, you know, figuring out what our ideal client was. I think you mentioned something about, you know, it's very close to our ideal client. Ours is, 50 to 60 year olds, people who drive BMWs, you know, that not quite the huge mansion, but you know, got the $5 million house. That's that's our niche, you know. So I start targeting those neighborhoods, putting signs out, you know, trying to think what else.
So wait a minute, just to get this straight, you're telling me that what you focused on, you got more of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Funny how that works, isn't it, man?
Like, yeah, it really is.
You know, this is who we're going for. And it's, you know, I just did a workshop. I was out of town for a few days, did a workshop, and the whole 2-day workshop, the whole first day was on marketing. And we talked a lot about your niche and building your brand. And, you know, I asked the room, I said, who's afraid to niche? And when I say niche, you guys, like you could niche several things. You could niche a service that you do. Like you could just go, we're just going to do kitchens or whatever, or fences. I think you can niche like a, what's called a unique buying tribe, like a type of person. Sounds like you did, or you could niche to a neighborhood, you know, just go pole assing one neighborhood or so instead of trying to blanket the whole city, you know? And I said, who's afraid to niche like that? And a bunch of hands went up, and I started asking people, I said, what's your fear? And they said, my fear is that I'm saying no to the rest of the world. And I said, well, okay, well, let me ask you this. Is the rest of the world hiring you right now? And they were like, no. I said, okay, well, what can you learn from that? You know? And it was funny because I think we all struggle, especially those of us that are entrepreneurs, like you and me, like we're visionaries and we want to, you know, do all these crazy things. We always have these ideas in this business, and it takes so much discipline to go, no, this is our client. These are the types of homes. These are the types of neighborhoods, and these are the services. In your sense for services, you've niched to the exterior. So all these things combined move the needle pretty fast in a year, man. I mean, you $2 million worth of growth.
Like, yeah. And that's just crazy to even say, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, that's nuts. I mean,
I will say one other thing we did too, I forgot to mention, is I've turned my project manager into a salesman as well. Since he's been with me since the very beginning, and he's a great talker. He knows he's in the field. So like part of our process is, you know, upselling while he's there. And also doing the little trick I think I learned on one of your podcasts where, you know, like when we media blast a cabin or anything that caused a little debris, I'll have him go over to the neighbor's house, hand him a card, knock on the door, hand him a card and say, you know, not to try to sell him on the, you know, just, hey, if there's any debris or trash in your yard, I just wanted to give you my card. If you guys need anything, we'll be by to pick that up for you. And then new thing we just started after the job's done, we're sending gift cards to the neighbors for get their car washed. So
yeah,
I love stuff like that. Like just little touches you can do.
Well, you're creating a category of one at that point, like cause nobody else is doing that. And dude, what I love about you, and like I said, I've watched from afar for a while, is a lot of people talk shit about what they want, how they want to grow their business. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then they're in the same spot 6 months, 12 months later, 3 years later. You are an absolute executor. I mean, you guys listen to this. He's like, yeah, I heard you say this thing and I went and did it. I usually do it the same day or the next day. You know, like I just take action. And that, you know, people ask all the time, like, what's the formula to win inside a battleground with what we teach? And I really think it's the discipline to execute. It's really that simple. I mean, you have the same knowledge that the people in the group, you know, are not implementing, and look what happens. So I just think it's, we like to overcomplicate everything, and, you know, and I'm speaking to myself too. Like I'm not exempt to some of these things, guys, where I'm an entrepreneur. What's the next shiny object? What's the next new idea? And most times, we just got to go, you know what? I'm not going to be a content whore anymore. I'm actually going to be somebody that doesn't just consume shit. I'm going to go implement it. And, you know, when we have that discipline, it's crazy. The growth, you know, just not just top line, but I mean, shit, your bottom line. I mean, here, if we look at it, just look at the rough numbers at $500,000 times 0.26, you were doing 130 grand in net. If you had done 2.5, at 26%, you would have done 650 a gross profit. However, you did 2.5 at a 44, which is 1.1. minus the 650. So you brought in an additional 450 because you didn't just execute some things. You said, no, we're going to get what we're worth. So that's pretty cool, man. So you said earlier, you were listening to stuff, then you grabbed a couple courses and you had to, then jumped into Battleground and you had to get around the mindset bullshit around your pricing. What did that look like? Like, where was your head at? You'd be, and what'd you have to battle through there?
Honestly, that was probably the easiest for me for some reason, mm-hmm. as far as like, just, how do I say this? You know, just seeing that people will pay, you know, realizing people will pay for anything at the right, you know, any price really, as long as you're able to deliver, you know, build the value of it. And, you know, just kind of, you know, asking people who, you know, do the similar work that I do, and they're charging double what I'm charging, you know, I'm like, shoot, if he can charge that, I know I could charge that. And, you know, after going through my numbers and then doing the 50%, then it becomes not, like you said, not an emotional thing. It's just the numbers are their numbers. So that's mm-hmm. where it really helps me, is like, this is what I have to charge to be in business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, send it and just be quiet, you know, and, you know, not try to beg for the job. And yeah, I might not get three, but I'll get the one I needed. And pretty interesting too. Like, you know, as I was building the gym, Pro Property was still growing and, mm-hmm. you know, it was hard to like track. I was still tracking stuff and not as well as I should, just because I was so trying to build that out. You know, I was kind of doing the best I could with what I had, you know?
Yep.
And I started seeing, like, I wasn't recovering my overhead as much. So I dove back into it. So I realized that I needed to increase my prices by 30%. Hmm. Like a big jump.
Yeah.
And I did. And it was like, just first one I sent, it was a pretty big, you know, $50,000 job. First, you know, I charged $20,000 more than what I did last year. And it was like instant, yep, let's go ahead. And like the next two or three jobs, you know, I landed them. So it was right there. It's all in your head, you know? And now we've niched back down. We're not doing quite as, you know, I don't have as many crews, but I'm charging 30% more. We're not spread out all over the place and we're still making more money than we did last year with more crews. So yeah, the importance of knowing your numbers and going back up. Staying on top of those too. That was the lesson I learned, because I got to a point where the gym and the contracting, you know, we had a couple of clients that weren't paying. The gym kind of cost a lot more than I expected, even though treated it just like a construction project. I tried to price everything out, even added 30% for unknowns. And it was like still double that, you know, just because you get into it, you're like, I can't leave the drywall like this.
Yeah.
You know, I got to, you know, especially it's your passion. So, but yeah, I got into a pretty rough spot and I was able to, you know, dig us out of that. And, but I was, the contracting business was growing as the gym, we were building the gym. So I had a right there towards the end of last year, I had to dive into the pricing again, up everything by 30%, change my contracts because of the situations that those homeowners that weren't paying. I had three or four of them all at the same time. And yeah, changed the contract. And yeah, just having the resource of the, you know, of the Battleground and, you know, those videos that you guys put up with them. I love my favorite ones are the getting eyeballs one. That is my favorite videos to watch.
Training. Yeah.
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 Yeah. I always take a little nuggets from that. That's like I love when those come out. I like the sales ones too. But yeah,
you know, as you're talking about the gym and about, you know, Pro Property, and I'm just thinking, like, business is nothing more than just making adjustments, man. You know, it's never set it and forget it. You know, you never hire employees and they're going to be with you forever necessarily, right? You're never going to be done recruiting, training people or subs, and you're never going to be done marketing the business, because what you might be doing now might not work a year from now for whatever reason. And so it's always adjustments, and that's why tracking is so important, just like with your body, right? Like, it's I mean, I shared not the, a bodybuilder or whatever competitor like you, but like for me, I had to make adjustments to figure out what was really going to work for me. And I actually, like I said, I found that doing less, but doing it more in with more intensity and heavier weight, as example, actually got me better results. And so a lot of times in our business, it's the same thing. It's like you just said a minute ago, like you're doing way more money with less people, you know? And so it's going to take some time. And I'm just thinking about your gross profit increase too. Like you said, you know, you paid around $100,000 in mistakes to redo shit. You know, if your GP wasn't higher, that was a much bigger hit. I mean, certainly nobody wants to have to pay to redo work. And right. Nobody's excited about spending $100,000 they didn't plan on spending. But it is nice when you have it to go, okay, I can really take care of these people, roll the red carpet, do it right, because that is building your brand, right? It's building the story behind your brand, who you are. It's why they paid more money for you, is if shit goes wrong, we're going to take care of it. And I know a lot of contractors have great intentions to do those things, but then they get trapped because their GP wasn't high enough, you know?
Right. And, that's the way I try to think too, is like, even the negative, there's always something good that can come out of any situation. So that's, mm-hmm. I always have a positive mindset. Like you said, instead of getting upset about, yeah, I was unhappy that they did a bad job and I'm having to redo it, but I went into it like, this is a chance for me to show my company and what we stand for and go in here and just roll the red carpet out, and, you know, redo the whole thing, you know. And there was even a little part that wasn't messed up. I said, we'll go ahead and we'll fix that too. Just put a little icing on the cake there. And,
yeah. Well, you'll probably have customers for life now because, you know, it's, I remember when things like that would happen, I used to get really bent out of shape about it. And then at some point, I don't know, probably somebody said something or whatever, opened my eyes to this years ago, but I started making a shift that when there was a problem we had to fix, to me, I just immediately started telling myself, this is just a marketing expense.
Oh yeah.
That's you know, idea. Like it's just marketing because it's about the experience. It's about somebody hires us. And if we're going to be uncommon contractors, we need to, you know, walk them through it and give them the product they expected and the experience they expected. And sometimes it costs us money. And so that, you know, that $100,000 that you dropped fixing shit, my guess is it'll probably bring in $10 million over to your business over the next, you know, 5 years, just from those, you know, comments and referrals and reviews and repeat business.
Yeah, I have found too, like you said, you make it right. And usually within a month or so, their neighbor or something will call, or even them, they'll want a project that pays for that. And, you know, it takes care of it, you know, even more profit after that. So
how did you handle it with the customer? Like that patio or whatever that wasn't right. You know, what'd you say to the client? Like,
I said, well, you know, we'll make it right. So yeah. I'll get over there and we'll fix it. We'll tear it out.
So did they call you and just go, hey, this thing ain't looking right. It's sinking or it's having issues or whatever.
Yeah,
or?
It was over Facebook Messenger is what she used for some reason. She liked to, mm-hmm. to message that way. And I think I asked her too. I said like, is there anything else that I can do for you to make this right? Did the open-ended question. And, and she said, you know, just fix it. And, she ended up leaving us another 5-star review. And I think we've got some work coming up for her pretty soon as well. So,
damn, look at that. One of the important things here that I hope you're hearing is put yourself in that client's shoes when the thing isn't right. It's not holding up the way you expected it. Most, you know, I would imagine at some point rolling through most clients' minds is now I got to go fight my contractor. You know, versus she reaches out to you and you're like, yeah, no problem. It shouldn't do that. We got you. Like just totally different, like disarmed right out of the gate. And, you know, I have a neighbor who's had an issue with a contractor because he's cheap as fuck and he always hires the cheap people and he always ends up having issues. And I've told him over and over, I'm like, dude, you gotta like, you know, you're paying for it anyway. And, but yeah, I think most people, when they think of having to deal with a contractor, call the contractor back for something that's wrong, they're going into it almost with their fists up. Like, you know, I gotta get this, but you're making it easy for people to deal with you.
Yeah, I want them to be easy to work with, like mm-hmm. all the way through the whole process. Everybody that from the guy who sells it to my project manager to the subs that are on there, they're all friendly, nice, you know, respectful, you know. Yeah, that's kind of the core values we have at Pro Properties. You got to be easy to work with or we'll just let you go.
Yeah. I love how you're so nonchalant. Yeah, we'll just let you go. So out of the things, when you jumped into Battleground, what would you say one of the biggest things that jumped out at you that was different than just consuming some of the video trainings that we have out there? Like what?
I loved how, you know, being a bodybuilder and going through like different diets and training, it fit perfect with me because it was like systematic. You know, mm-hmm. you're doing the most important things first. You know, why are you doing what you're doing? Then going into your numbers and then, you know, the sales and the marketing. I loved how it just kind of, it trained you the whole way through, giving you the foundation and then knowing your numbers to be able to sell to people and then going to the marketing on, you know, using social media. Yeah, I just loved everything about it. I'd say the numbers thing was obviously the most important thing. And I really loved the sales thing and then the marketing, just getting comfortable with, you know, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing on Facebook if it wasn't for some of your, you know, your boot camp stuff. So.
What aspect of building the business and some of the new concepts you learned in the group were the hardest for you to implement or get your head around or work through?
Let's see. Like just some of the sales stuff, you know, like digging deeper into the motive. I'd say like the motive and like asking those open-ended questions. And, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes I'm like, wow, that's kind of a weird question to ask somebody, but I get, and then I see it working, you know? So I would say that was, you know, sometimes I could go a little bit deeper. So, but yeah, I would say that's the most challenging thing for me.
But that's why the role plays are so important, because you got to get used to saying it. You know, right. You got to get used to not just watching a video about it and then thinking it, but when you say it, you hear yourself say it. And then you have more confidence when you go into those situations because I've been here before.
Right. Right.
You know, it's not the first time you're spitting something like that out of your mouth.
Right.
And role plays is where you try shit. It's like going for a new max or something. Eh, give it a shot. Right. I might fall flat on my face, but at least I'll know.
Right. Right. Exactly. On.
What haven't we touched on today that you think would be important to somebody listening to this right now? That's either getting their asses kicked in business or maybe they're winning and they've plateaued a little.
We kind of touched on it. You know, I think taking care of, it starts with you, you know, taking care of your health and your, and working out. And I think too, like setting a fitness goal of some sort and following through with that, that'll build so much confidence to say, mm-hmm. you know, it subconsciously tells your mind that you're a person that follows through with what they say. So I do that with, you know, I do that with everything. Like you said, you know, I implement right away. I credit that to the bodybuilding, the discipline I've learned there. And I think that is where, you know, I have a lot of contractor friends that are struggling and they're out of shape and, you know, eat McDonald's and, you know, so I think, you know, putting good fuel in your body, nutrition throughout the day, drinking water, you know, it doesn't have to be the gym. It could be walking, you know, feeding your mind with the right stuff, not watch a bunch of negative stuff or negative music. So if your body's good, you know, if you're good, you know, you are your business. So I'm a big believer in that. So, and then obviously getting it, knowing your numbers, you know, doing the Shinfu sales training and just practice.
Yeah. It's, running into the punch, man, you know, embracing the hard shit and your confidence grows in it. I'm not surprised you brought up, you know, you are your business and, you know, the whole fitness angle and taking care of your health. But guys, I'm telling you, like, everything we do and everything we don't do in our business sends a message, tells a story. When somebody shows up, and we've all seen them, you know, the guy who rolls up in his truck and, you know, and listen, I started with a beater van, so I get it. There's seasons of business where you truly just don't have the money. Okay. So I'm not ripping on somebody who drives a beater truck. You get out of a beater truck, you walk up to the house, you got a wrinkled shirt on and you're overweight, right? You're basically going typical contractor, like just even subconsciously, that's what people are picking up. Like when you just visually look at the package walking up to the front door and what's parked outside, that sends a message that you might not have your shit dialed in. Versus right. when you roll up, your truck's tatted up, you get out like you're a fit dude, and you actually carry a confidence that I think does a lot of the heavy lifting in that mm-hmm. sales call. And when you say, yeah, we're going to build you, when you're, like you said, you're going to these $5 million homes, right?
Right.
Just visually looking at the way your company's represented, how you and your people show up versus the others, it sends a message that, yeah, we belong in a house like this. I really think there's a lot of mental stuff going on there subconsciously for people.
Right. And like too, you know, say you're having a bad week of sales, like or business in general, it's the one thing you can control. I feel like you can go to the gym, like, okay, I'm going to eat healthy this week. I'm going to drink a gallon of water. I'm going to walk on the treadmill. You know, it keeps that anxiety and that stress, you know, mm-hmm. you can still get your wins, you know, no matter what. Like it might not be a business win, but you can get your physical win.
Yeah.
So
you still have bad weeks?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I know you do. But I say that because a lot of guys, this is not like, I'm my own biggest fan for our program, Battleground, right? And the other things that we do. So I think if you're not your own biggest fan for your gym and pro property and whatever, you're doing yourself a disservice and your customers, right? So let me just get that out of the way. Guys, this isn't the type of thing where you come in and just by osmosis, all your problems are solved and you know, you don't have bad weeks anymore and this and that. The difference is you have a community to help you, you know, get through some of the tougher times, to encourage you, to kick you in the ass, to challenge you. You know, business is going to have hard seasons, whether or not you're intentionally working on getting better or not. So you might as well, you might as well be intentional about what you're trying to build, because the hard times are going to come anyway. Time's going to pass anyway. So let's put in the reps, do the work, refine the business, figure out what works, and do more of those things. And go ahead.
I've actually here lately, I've started switching my mindset. So when I actually look forward to the rough times or when things are tight, because that's when you learn something. That's when you grow. You know, when everything's going well and money's coming in, like, you know, you don't really learn anything. I mean, we get stronger or better through the rough times, just like, you know, weightlifting. I keep bringing it back to that, but it's a lot of similarities, you know. So that's where as soon as something bad happens, like, okay, this is I call it expansion and contraction phases. So like when it's going through a rough phase, you know, that's the contraction phase. So that's when your money's tight, but you're learning the lessons you need to learn. So then when the good times come, you expand and you've got all the tools you need to expand. So, and it seems to be that way. The more I think about it, it goes in little phases. So, and each time sometimes that contraction phase, I just went through it, went really tight, further than I've ever, or scarier than I've ever been. Just through, we had like April, it was dead. Like we didn't sell anything. We were doing everything we could. I was make as much content and people just weren't buying. And then fast forward to May, got through that patch and we had one of our best sales months ever. You know, there's more money in the account than there's ever been. So last month there was less money than it's ever been. So it's like this huge swing. So, but yeah, that's kind of the way I handle it.
I've noticed a pattern. Well, I didn't notice it. Yoda, Chris Dwyer, who's one of our coaches inside of Battleground, him and I work closely together and one-on-one, I work with him to unfuck my head here and there. And he pointed out years ago, he says, dude, what I've noticed is whenever you are in a period of, like, you feel like you're getting your ass kicked, things aren't going the way you want them to. He says, what I've noticed is that he's amazing at observing things, right? And connecting the dots. He says, every time that happens and I start seeing or hearing certain things out of you, I know that you're about to have your next launch to your next level of success. He says, because, you know, you've surrounded yourself with people that challenge you and push you. And, you know, I have coaches too, and I keep working on me through those tough times. And we all have them. We all have our current peak, our current pit. And then we have the next peak. And whenever I'm in that pit, as long as I push through, keep doing those basic things, you know, like fitness, you lift heavy and eat good shit and you hydrate and try to get some sleep. You do that, you're going to be able to, no pun intended, muscle through pretty much any bad shit. And so that's a pattern that we've seen, is that when I'm in those pits, just keep going, because I know I'm at the doorstep of our next higher peak in the business.
Right.
So
I like that.
Yeah, man. So dude, let me ask you this. What, somebody wants to join your gym. Maybe they live down there. If they want to come work for you, be a sub, you know, work with you in any capacity, where do they find you, man?
Yeah. So we're in Canton, North Carolina. You can find us on Facebook, Pro Property Services. And the website is propropertyservicesWNC.com. And then this is a huge other part of our business is a vacation rental my wife manages. So she's got like 85 homes that they take care of. So great area to visit on vacation and stuff. You want to see waterfalls and, you know, elk and, all, you know, you name it. The gym is a 43 Plaza Loop in Canton, North Carolina. And that's BlueRidgeMuscle.com, 24-hour access. So yeah, come check it out.
That's pretty cool, man. So last question I have here, I'm just kind of curious, what's your average day look like now? Like you got multi-million dollar business. It's growing. It's profitable. You got the gym. I didn't know about the property rental thing that you got. You know, we just have 85 properties we're managing, right?
And, it's a weird thing. Cause it's like it's under Pro Property, but it's almost its own business. So they never intertwine. I thought I was going to be able to do like work for some of these homeowners that, that she manages, but they're not my ideal clients. I really don't do any work for them.
Yeah.
But yeah. Are my average day. Yeah. I wake up. Well, first thing I do is I read the Bible first, a chapter a day, and I send it to 8 other guys that are in my group. Put some, you know, good stuff in my mind first thing. If I don't do that right when I wake up, I won't do it. So that's the first thing I do. And I started taking the cold showers, like you mentioned. Haven't quite gotten to the ice bath thing. I think that's a little too much for me.
I don't do the baths either. I just do the shower. That's enough, man.
Yeah, get started with that. Then I go to the gym about 7:30. I go fasted, bring my food with me. So I meal prep everything, bring 3 meals with me. Get my car, listen to Andy Frisella on the stair climber. Then I listen to the contractor fight on the treadmill for 30 minutes. Then I eat my pre-workout, do a 2-hour workout or so, or hour and a half. I just get my day started. And then I spend about 3 hours doing the Pro Property stuff first thing in the morning before the gym gets, because we're working the gym now to keep down on, you know, labor and stuff until we grow enough. So me and her both work there. We have a little, almost like a little desk at the front. And so we spend 3 hours working on Pro Property, you know, checking in on, you know, my sales manager, my project manager, make sure all the projects are good, paying any bills that I need to pay, vendors, stuff like that. And then I focus on the gym the last half of the day. We do have a guy that comes in at 2 to 7, because we're usually pretty burnt out, you know, by 2:30, 3, just mentally. So I use that time to either do stuff towards the gym as far as marketing, doing different promotions and flyers and stuff, and also order stuff for Pro Property as well, like, you know, yard signs and sometimes I do, like on a Thursday, I'll do the ground game for Pro Property. Like, I don't work out, it's my day off, and I'll go pass cards out to real estate. We have like routes that we built for all the different cities, and we have a Google spreadsheet that we check. So I like that part of it. Like, I like to go out and shake people's hand and just kind of like almost like treasure hunting. Like you're pulling money out of nowhere. So I really like that. I like to be able to tell my sales guy, like, hey, I got one. You guys need to step it up.
There you go. Competition is good, man.
Guys,
if you're not seeing the video of this, when he started talking about going on the hunt and treasure hunting and this and that, your whole body language changed. Like, I could tell you're super passionate about that. Like, you like meeting people and shaking hands, and you like the hunt and the challenge of it.
Yeah.
And that's cool, man. It's good to see, you know, you're like, you get fired up about certain things. And so you go do those things, you're going to be more successful at them.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good shit, man. Well, dude, I appreciate you hanging out today. I guarantee you somebody got some value of this. And, you know, I would, if you're checking this thing out, guys, wherever you listen to it, if it's on YouTube or whatever, I know we post these there too. Drop a comment on what your biggest takeaway was. You know, mine is just how, dude, everything is connected here, right? It's how you do one thing's how you do everything. Like the discipline you bring to your fitness and your gym and, you know, and just how you show up every day is the same that you bring into the companies. And, right. And I just love the fact that, you know, you're one of those rare people that just implement shit. And guys, when you implement, good things happen. Even if it doesn't work out the way you think it is, at least you know.
Right.
You gave this a shot. I have thousands of examples of things that I tried, you know, and now I, you know, I can refine some things. I could ditch them. You know, I can do more of something, whatever it is. But you don't know unless you implement some things. And sometimes you just have to trust, like Derek, you said, you know, hey, there's other people in this area that are charging twice my prices. So there's no reason I can't. You know, it's reframing that mental, you know, negative self-talk that holds so many of us back.
Right.
And it's just, you know, if somebody else is getting 50% gross profit with subs, you can too. If somebody else grew from, you know, if Derek grew from 500 grand to 2.5 in a year or so, you know, you can too. It's just going to be getting up every day and implementing the things you got to do today.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me, Tom. Appreciate it. I've been dreaming about this day for a long time. And listening, like, you've changed my life, and I just can't thank you enough, man, for your programs and everything. I actually should be one of your salesmen, because I tell everybody on my contract, I'm like, you guys need to listen to this guy. I send it all the time. It's like, well, I need to be getting a commission on this.
Hey, we'll hook you up, man. I'll hook you up. I appreciate it. And I've loved watching your journey and getting to know you a little bit. I can't wait to get to know you some more. And guys, check out Derek if you're down in his neck of the woods, and you'll get a lift in and, you know, hang around good people like this, and you're going to excel in areas of your life, man. So Derek, I appreciate you, man. And guys, share the show, give us a review. Share it with a contractor who needs some encouragement. And with that, you guys rock. We got to roll. We are out.